Pieces come and go, and I'm forever grateful. Come and tell me long and slow exactly what I wait for. Better times, yeah, better times. Somehow I don't believe it. I built a house up long ago just to up and leave it.
Welcome to On the Wing Podcast, fueled by Purina Pro Plan. This is your Rooster Road Trip, Episode 1. Earlier today, we determined it's year 15. Can you confirm it's year 15, Andrew?
I mean, I've almost lost count at this point. They all start to blend together as I get older in age, but since I do track my age in Rooster Road Trips now, I can confirm it's 15.
How old were you on your first one, then?
Well, I'm 38 now, so 23 is when we first started trying to prove the social media world wrong, that there were indeed birds out there and that a bunch of jokers can get out there and find them.
It's perfect transition. Tell us the philosophy of Rooster Road Trip.
So the Rooster Road Trip is a group hunt where we travel to different parts of the country every year, and we hunt nothing but publicly accessible land. This year we're in the great state of North Dakota for 5 days, traveling from west to east. But our goals are to not only highlight the fact that anybody can get out there and do this. Some of us have some phenomenal dogs. Some of us have had some average dogs. I'm looking at myself in the mirror there. But the thing to focus on is that anybody can go do this, have fun, find birds. And there's opportunities out there. There are so many great access programs, and there's a variety of WMAs, WPAs, grasslands. Like, throw a dart at a map, and you can probably find something to go follow a bird dog across, and you'll have a good time.
So the voice you hear, I introduced him as Andrew Vavra, Vice President of Marketing at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, and the distinction of being the only person to ever be on every single one of these Rooster Road Trips.
And every one is fun and maddening and chaotic, and I absolutely love it. It's so much fun. Earlier today, we'll introduce Emily here in a second, but she rolled down the window, and we're trying to figure out, man, where do we go to next? Because it's real. Like, we're just like everyone else. Like, we get people beat us to spots. Like, you roll up to a piece of grass and you think it's grass, but it's like, well, that's been recently grazed. Mm. Oh, that's been hayed. Now where to? Now we're just a caravan of trucks looking for, you know, some ground to put boots on. And she's like, you having fun? I'm like, absolutely.
There is a level of stress.
Oh, yeah. we have to perform a little bit. I mean, there's some cameras in tow, and there are some expectations for sure. But at the end of the day, you know, I like to tell people it only takes one. Like, it really, you only need one in the bag, and then the pressure's off. And there have been days where we haven't gotten any. You know, it's the reality of it, and I think that's what people like too. Mm-hmm.
Reality. We will get to introducing everybody. I have a you mentioned dogs. They're the real stars of Rooster Road Trip.
100%.
The dogs involved. So we've got Bridger, Riggins, and Ignacio, who I don't think saw the field today yet. And those are Emily's dogs. She's nodding in affirmative. It works great on podcasting.
Yeah. No, those are my three boys. So Iggy will get some time in the field tomorrow, I think.
Iggy's a pointer. Bridger is a cocker.
Yep.
And then Riggins is an English setter.
Yes.
And then we have Nate joining us as well. Nate's pup, Maisie, is along for the ride.
Maisie's along on this one.
We have Logan's dog, Trek. So Maisie is a German short hair. Trek is Logan's Labrador retriever. And then I've got Gitchy and Esky. So two pups that are not along on the ride that I want to make mention of. Tika, Nate's other German short hair. Tell us where Tika is on injured reserve.
She's on IR. She's happily, well, maybe not happily, but comfortably sleeping in the bed without me at home. She had an injury earlier, right before the season started this year.
Which was a wicked injury. Do you mind sharing that?
Not a problem. Yeah, she ended up slicing her her tendons near her ankle all the way through on a broken beer bottle. Nonetheless, on public land,
we were not yours.
Not mine.
Somebody threw garbage
in
the form of a broken beer bottle or beer bottle that broke.
Yeah. And, you know, so that's my call out to anybody. You know, take out what you bring
Pick
in.
Up your shit.
Pick up your shit, please. it's vet bills for all of us. It's our land. We all enjoy it, and we don't want injuries like that. And, you know, it definitely was a huge bummer, a freak accident, a fluke maybe. But, yep, she's healing up. She's had surgery. We're down to probably by the time this comes out, we'll be back to running in the field. But we had a successful surgery, and right now we're a week out, a little less than a week out from getting into a soft wrap out of the splint. And by some miracle with that surgery, we'll be able to hunt again even this season. So stoked about that. Bum, she's not here, of course, but she'll be back.
How old is Tika?
She's 8 years old now.
Okay.
Yep.
And Maisie is how old?
Maisie's two. She just turned two this last July.
Maisie's doing well.
Yeah. She's performing really well. Every day's learning, but she's getting there. Yeah.
I will underscore it once again for folks using public land and for folks that consider using public land as a dump site, knock that shit off. Nothing pisses me off more than, you know, refrigerators and, you know, bed springs. I saw a boat in a Wisconsin State Forest.
I think we found a washing machine last year.
It's crazy the stuff.
Report it. You see somebody doing that stuff, they deserve to go to prison and throw away the key. Maybe a little extreme, but
I don't know. I mean, I'm with
cutting your dog's ankle on a beer bottle, your tendon, that blows.
It was wicked. I will say, you know, I do see a lot, obviously, on social of a lot of people that have pile picks of their birds at the end of the day and have a bunch of trash that they picked up as well. So to those people, I appreciate that. If you see trash and you're out, you know, do everyone else a favor and pick it up, throw it in your bag, and bring it back. You can help clean up more than what's out there, too.
Yeah. And I do want to recognize another pup that's not with us, the gentleman. Gentleman Baxter. Tell us where Gentleman is.
Yeah, so I guess before I get into those details, it's this year's always a good time for me to like kind of reflect on my journey as like an upland hunter. Because when this all first started, I had a six-month-old yellow lab puppy named Bo in tow with me, and she was the one that really flipped me into an upland hunter because at that time I was more hardcore waterfowl. Like that was my jam. That's what I was into, and so I got a lab, and because that's what you do, right? But it was clear from day one she was happiest in the uplands. I didn't know a lot about it at that time because I came off, you know, being an intern at PF, and I was growing up into the upland space. But I was still chasing, you know, waterfowl more than anything else. But she's the one that, like, really pushed me to become an upland hunter because I saw how happy she was. And then I learned to, like, really love it and then learned to love the landscapes that I was already in but in a totally different way. So instead of just sitting in a duck boat, you know, stationary for 4 hours, like, staring at the sun all day, it's like you're actually out there exploring it. You're seeing the details. Like, it's starting to open up to you. And so I owe who I am as an upland hunter to that dog. But as she got older, she made, I think, 10 road trips in a row. We adopted, at the time, like a 2 or 3 year old French Brit who wasn't a French Brit by any breed standard. Like, the dude was a hoss. People are picking up on the fact I'm speaking in past tense now. But for everything he lacked in finesse, he made up for in pure joy. He was the 3-time winner of the Spirit of the Hunt Award.
as awarded by you.
As awarded by me. But you know, I'm the one who doles him out. So it just happened that way. He brought a different joy and energy to the uplands, and he was my first pointing dog. Mm-hmm. And so that was me, you know, dipping my toes into that world. And he also forced me to enjoy the little victories, the little wins, because Bo and I were so dialed. It's like, if I put this dog down and there's a bird here, I will find it. I will, and we will bring it home. It wasn't like that for him. So any time that he actually locked up and a rooster got up, and I was able to knock it down. Now, he didn't retrieve, so then you got to sprint over it and hope he, like, finds dead and all that. But, like, one bird could bring me more joy than a bag limit. So that kind of forced me to take a step back in terms of, like, what are you really out here for? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you in it for? Yeah, pile picks can be cool, I guess. And, like, I love, you know, putting pheasant in the pot for sure. But it's so much more than that. And so I owe a lot to him to reframe my mind as an upland hunter, as I was kind of going down the path of, like, more, 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 must limit out, must limit out, must limit out. He forced me to find other ways to be happy. Like, he did.
He had a lot of personality.
Yeah, but this summer, so he was diagnosed with advanced kidney failure. He's anemic. It kind of snuck up on us. He just kept on dropping weight. And then he was getting choosy with food. I was like, okay, well, he's a knucklehead. He's been known to play me before. So try changing food, wet food, and he'd kind of eat it. And clearly it's like, okay, this dog isn't being ran hard yet. It's the heat of summer. Where's this weight going? So we brought him into a vet and then a specialist. And long story short, basically she's like, well, he has advanced kidney failure at this point, and chances are he's been fighting this since at least last fall. He just didn't tell you that because he can't tell you that. So as he was winning his spirit of, you know, the
spirit
hunt
of the hunt
award last year, his body was failing on him. So he's no longer with us, which makes me mooch the pooch for this trip, which is different. I've been out 2 times already this year without a dog, and it's part of me is missing. Mm-hmm. Like there's a huge like hole in my heart, for dogs past, but also that extra spark of joy. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to joke about, today I just kind of took a long walk with a shotgun. That's what I'm doing, mm-hmm. essentially. I'm still having fun, but there is such a tighter bond to the landscape when you're viewing it through how a dog works it, and just the connection to the dog and what they're doing, and just, you know, watching Emily's like Riggins just absolutely eat up a field and just like float across a field. And it's just magic. Mm-hmm. And like that's such a big part of it, that we're all foolish to like think that without the dogs we'd still be doing this. Like it's just the truth, and you just gotta level with it.
Will there be a Rooster Road Trip 2025, and will you have a new dog?
If everything lines up correctly, I'm hoping that I will have a bearded dog in tow next fall. So that's what's
switching it up again.
I mean, why not? Let's see what you like. Like keep like, and that's something that I'm definitely spoiled about is, or I guess spoiled for is, I get exposed to so many good dogs. Mm. And so many different personalities and so many different hunting styles. And there's so many cool breeds out there. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to like find one you love, find a line you love. And it's like, why would I change it? Right. And I have a lot of respect for that. I haven't found that yet. So that lets me just, well, I really like that. And I know I like to hunt like this, and I want to be able to explore those landscapes too. Like,
sample from the buffet.
Sounds like you need more than one dog.
Oh, I'm there. I think the 2.5-year-old son at home would love that too. I'm not sure if Allie, my loving wife, would agree with that right now. But yeah, at one point we had 2 dogs and a cat and an infant at home, so we can handle it, and maybe we'll get there. But yeah, it's we'll see what happens. But that's the way the wind's blowing me right now.
Yeah, it is interesting to think about the Rooster Road Trip and the different dogs that have participated too. You know, some of the faces have been here pretty consistently, but some of the dogs change and they take a little piece of us with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, best wishes to Baxter.
Oh, he's up there judging me for sure.
Wearing his top hat and smoking jacket.
Exactly. He was a gentleman to the last day.
All right. Let's thank our Rooster. What?
You smacked the table. Pounded you said
on
don't
table.
Smack the table
I did,
before we
I
started,
did, I did.
And you
I
went
broke
ahead and did
rule
it.
Rule number 1.
Yeah.
Let's thank our Rooster Road Trip partners as I do smack the table. Browning Firearms, Federal Ammunition, Orvis, brand new partner in Rooster Road Trip, providing all the hunting apparel and dog products you see along the way. Rufflin Kennels, keeping our pups safe in our vehicles. Garmin, you got the Alpha, the e-collars, watches, Irish Setter boots, Sound Gear hearing protection, and Yeti coolers. So thank you to all eight of our Rooster Road Trip partners. All right, everybody's chimed in a little bit, but we'll do formal introductions. Andrew, I introduced you. You're quarterback of Rooster Road Trip. Emily Spolier, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm trying not to cry over listening to Andrew talk over there, but I'm Emily Spolier. I'm the state coordinator here in North Dakota. So I've been with Pheasants Forever since 2018, so just over 6 years now. My very first On the Wing podcast was my very first week of work, and you were there for that.
I remember that. That was
quite the journey.
Sticklestead Lodge. Easy for me to say. Sticklestead Lodge.
Yeah, in southeast North Dakota.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, welcome back. You've been on a number of podcasts, actually, over the years.
Yeah, you keep having me back for some reason.
There's obvious reasons. You're great. And thank you for doing this again. Thanks for bringing your pack. Mentioned Bridger, Riggins, Ignacio.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm just stumbling at 10 o'clock with some of the names. I asked you in the field today if you had a favorite out of your pack, and you, to my surprise, you didn't hesitate.
Yeah. So I love all three of my boys so much. They're all so different. Three different breeds, but also just three completely different personalities. And there's a lot to love about each one of them. When I moved out to North Dakota, I had whatever could fit in my Toyota Tacoma and Bridger. And that was it. He was 7 months old when we moved out here. And so we have just gone through a lot together and learned a lot together. And he's taken me places that I never would have gone without him. And he's pretty charismatic. If you know him or if you follow me on social media, you get to see a little glimpse of that. He's got a lot of character packed into a tiny little body. And he just is... Yeah, he's just special. He makes me happy.
He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, a lot of energy. Yeah, a lot of I always laugh and tell people that I try not to govern him. You know, he's going to do his own thing, and I get to tag along, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, he's fun. Nate, rounding out our podcast group, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I thought you were doing introductions. We got to introduce ourselves.
No, you got to introduce yourself. Come on now.
So, yeah, my name is Nate Akey. I am the social media coordinator for Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. Been here a little over 2 years now. This is my third Rooster Road Trip, second one holding a gun, first one with a camera.
That's right.
Yeah. And, no, it's a blast. I look forward to this trip every year. It is, as we've said, a bit of a shit show, but in the best way. Yeah. Lots of great people, lots of great camaraderie. You get to see a lot of good dogs do their thing. And, we just get to have a lot of fun and travel around and see new places. And I really do enjoy this. And it really does kind of speak to, like Andrew said, the everyday guy that goes out and hunts. And we do it that way. And I enjoy doing that and just finding new places just like everyone else. And running dogs. It's a blast.
In your day-to-day job, you're the Oz behind all the social media channels.
That's it. Yep. So all the posts, I hit send on those and set them up and work with this crew to get our message out there and whatever we got going, and then also see everyone else's stuff that comes through and try to respond when I can. There's a lot. We got a lot of good people that want to reach out. So
you've been doing that for, you said, a little over 2 years?
Yeah, here. Yep.
And so if I ask you, what's your single favorite post in 2 years, do you have one?
Ooh.
Does Andrew have one?
Nope.
No?
Ooh, I have one.
What do you have? Which one's yours?
So I've said this before, but the post we made when Marilyn became CEO, where she was in blue jeans and a sweatshirt with a limit of roosters and her bird dogs. And I thought that was the coolest thing I've ever seen. that was the coolest thing we've ever posted on social media.
The immediate one that comes to mind for me was the Barbie Oppenheimer.
I knew he was going to bring this one up. It was only on threads.
Yeah. It came to be a thing.
Yeah.
We got to have some fun. And I was like, yeah, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah. We can do that sometimes. There's places for it, but it can get a little out of hand. If you give me the reins, it could be trouble sometimes.
Well, so
the full reins, I should say.
So some like more natural, like the creation of Pheasant Fact and Quail Fact Friday.
Yep.
Yours, kind of the Tom Carpenter Pheasant Hunting Minute.
Love carp.
Was your concept?
Yeah. Well, everyone loves carp, and he's got a lot of good info to give to people. So I enjoy those ones. Honestly, you know, I don't have a favorite one, but my favorite thing to do is we have a ton of talent on our team, a ton of knowledge, and when I can get somebody to take the time, do a video, do a little talking head, or, you know, get their message out there and talk. Those are my favorite. We have all that info, and when I can get people to kind of break open and put that on a little video that we can put out there, I think those ones are my favorite because I enjoy everyone else kind of getting involved on social, because I think we have a lot of good people that are should be on there. They should be on there and telling the things that they need to say.
Cool. Well, Rooster Road Trip's a great opportunity for that, too.
Yeah, we can.
It'd be fun to see what you create with this.
We're always coming up with something. I don't know what's new this year. I'm thinking maybe a little bit more behind the curtain, maybe with the camera guys and showing how they operate and how we put all this together.
That'd be cool.
We've come a long ways from slapping a GoPro on the back of Bo and then trying to, like, pray we get a retrieve out of it and then throwing it on Facebook within 5 minutes of it actually happening.
It's a bigger production.
How many years have we been doing it, like, a delayed, more edited version? Is this year four?
Yeah, so when Rooster Road Trip first started, for those of you that don't know, we did everything in real time.
Yeah.
Our lunch breaks, we had to go hunt down Wi-Fi at some cafe.
Do you remember
in the
Wilson?
Middle of nowhere. Oh yeah, we tried buying whatever some of the, like, the earlier like cell boosters and all this stuff, so we could try and like upload things from the truck. And then we'd come into the hotel late at night, try to hack together a video and get it up before the end of the day, so people could actually see what we did that day, the day we did it. Right. I'm just old now. Like, I'm so old.
And now we have Starlink. It could be much easier.
Don't even bring that up. No, we're not going back. Well, so now we try to do things a bit more polished, and we do have such a talented team. It's doing them a disservice to not give them a little bit of time to put their efforts into it. So now we delay things roughly a week and a half, 2 weeks. So it's a very tight turnaround in the world of video production for sure. And I think we've been doing that for 3-4 years, maybe 5 years. I don't know.
Evolved.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to set the stage for what we did today, day one, Rooster Road Trip. Before we talk about that, want to recognize Purina Pro Plan as the national dog food sponsor of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, and the presenting sponsor of On the Wing podcast. My pups, Esky, Gitchy, and Little Winter, not yet ready to come on Rooster Road Trip, all eat Purina Pro Plan, not just because Purina supports our wildlife habitat conservation mission, which is extremely important to me, and it should be important to you. But Purina Pro Plan is a team of the world's best scientists and nutritionists behind their dog food. Learn more at ProPlansport.com. Purina Pro Plan, nutrition that performs. All right, it was a long and winding road to get to this year's itinerary, Andrew.
Indeed.
Tell us a little bit about all the maturations that got us to where we are today.
Oh, man, we've had dogs have to drop out. We've had people have to drop out. We've had landscapes that have had to drop out. You know, it's put me through the ringer a little bit, but luckily Emily's always had my back. So initially, I knew I wanted to get back to North Dakota. North Dakota's a special place, and it had been a while, and I don't need much of an excuse to get back up here. I really wanted to start in the far western part of the state and then, you know, work all the way east. But not too long ago, the western portion of North Dakota was essentially on fire. I think there were more than 20 active fires at one point. There was a huge wind event that ripped through. I don't know if that dropped power lines or how all these fires started popping up, but it was an extremely dry environment in general. And so once that wind event came through, I think it just fanned the flames, if you will. So where we were actually going to base our crew out of for the first couple of days, a local community had a loss of life. Mm. It's horrific. And then you think about those landscapes, like this not only doesn't feel right, it's not right. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't go recreate when there's grieving going on, when there's landowners going through like such hardships, like it just doesn't feel right. So last second we had to pivot, and it was the right call. Right now we're in the, I'll say, the greater Bismarck area. You know, if somebody wants to hunt downtown Bismarck, good luck. You know, we're not going to hotspot anything. So that was definitely a change. And then, you know, I had visions of, you know, maybe going to the southeastern portion of the state as towards the back half, and people have to wait to find out where we end up, but it's not that. So we just had a lot of curveballs thrown at us, like right before hitting the road, basically. But at the same time, it's real. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't like a stage production. Like this is what the average person has to deal with. Like when you think of, I've got 1 week a year to go take my big trip, right? Mm-hmm. Are you just not going to go? Like when you have the PTO ready to go, when you have the blessing from your partner at home and all of that, and all your buddies are rearing to go. No, you're going to make adjustments and you're going to try something new and hope it works out. And that's essentially what we did. I mean, where we went today, I don't think any of us have ever hunted any of the spots.
No.
Or seen any of these spots, right? And that's somewhat average for us, but obviously we have an ace up our sleeve in Emily, who is from North Dakota, but it's not like she was just dragging us around from like plots to plots being like, hunt this.
You never hunted any of these spots before either, have you?
No, I hadn't. We were talking about this earlier today, and I'm sure you'll remember this, but the last time you guys were in North Dakota, when I was dragging you from spot to spot, you said you had the best pheasant hunt you'd ever had.
On Rooster Road Trip.
Yeah.
Still that is. Yeah, yeah. That still is the high bar. Yeah.
So maybe you should have had me drag you to some fun. No, I'm kidding. No, it was fun to explore some new territory and check things out in more central North Dakota and, still see some birds.
So we are going to talk about the very first spot we went to because our organization helped add on to it, and we're pretty proud of that. Tell us a little bit about Painted Woods Wildlife Management Area.
Yeah, so the largest part of the Painted Woods WMA has been established for quite some time, but within the last couple years, we were part of a large partnership of different organizations that came together to help make that land acquisition for an additional 170-ish acres to add on to the existing Painted Woods WMA. So we were really excited to be a part of that. We don't have a ton of opportunity for land acquisitions in North Dakota, not like what they have in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So when we do have opportunities that make sense for everyone involved, we're excited to be able to capitalize on those. But it was awesome to see all the different partners come together. I mean, there's 16 different organizations up on that sign that helped make this acquisition possible. So it was a special thing to be a part of.
As you were talking about it earlier in the day, one of the cool things about this is it creates wildlife habitat, but there was an ulterior motive for this acquisition to happen in the first place.
Yeah, it helped with the flood mitigation in that Painted Woods watershed. So that was one of the main issues that they were looking to address by kind of shifting the management of that landscape.
And there's a lot of water there. We walked around and Almost through, Nate.
Nah.
A lot of cattails there, too. Yeah.
That's where the birds were. Yeah. So
I don't come to North Dakota for the cattails. I don't.
There's birds over there. We're going to go over there.
Well, so what happened was we were sitting in the parking lot getting ready and just watching birds fly in and out of the cattails. And we just couldn't help ourselves.
We got to go where the birds are.
That's right.
So let's do it. Let's take the play by play. So we got up early and arrived at O'Dark 30 to watch the sunrise because
it's beautiful.
It was beautiful. Videographers want to see sunrises, so that'll probably make the cut. I'm assuming. Take us from there, Andrew. What do we do next?
Yeah, so as Emily alluded to, we were all getting ready. And I just got to say, it's so nice being able to hunt right at sunrise. Mm. As someone from Minnesota, like, even the 9 a.m. start, like, really chaps my, you know.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah, it does. Like, it's just, especially on a day like today. So today was a very hot day. It tickled the upper 70s later in the afternoon.
I had 81 on my truck.
And
really?
Yeah, and so when you know that's coming, like, to have to kill almost an hour and a half of like the beautiful daylight, time of the daylight, just like waiting. Oh, that bothers me. And don't get me started in South Dakota, but that's fine. Anyway, so we're sitting there getting ready, and these roosters were pitching in about 100 yards to our left as we were looking north. And they were coming almost towards us, but they were piling into the base of this cattail slough that was surrounded by some trees. And so we all knew we had to like walk up this trail to get through the cattails, then get up into the grass. But like, I think Emily kind of threw out like, well, should we just go see? And we're all kind of looking at each other like, should we? Like, we kind of know we got to go that.
Like, famous last words were like, we'll just go real quick.
Yeah, we'll just,
we'll make really a quick loop through it time. and then come right back and regroup.
It'll be fine.
I've been kind of pinning the cattails on Nate.
But I didn't start it.
Really,
I might have like planted the seed, but Nate watered that garden.
I tried to make it grow. Unfortunately, it didn't. So,
so we went after him. No shots were fired, but like birds were getting up, and then instead of pulling back out and going back to the parking area and then up the path, someone took a hard right and just started going straight through the cattail slough. And then everyone, like a bunch of lemmings, just started following that person.
Would that person be a state coordinator?
I don't think so.
Maybe it was Andrew.
Andrew was the first one in the cattails.
Yeah, but you're the one that led us through them.
I was the first. I was the furthest in, and so like I found some ground to walk, and I alluded to how dry it's been. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm used to, like, you can't walk in this.
Right.
And it's like, this is dry. Mm-hmm. No kidding. They're in here. Mm-hmm. All right. Now it all makes sense. So my plan wasn't to go all the way through this 300-yard swath of cattails. Mm-hmm. But like, once I couldn't walk, I would be sensible and like, okay, let's back out or find a way to an easier path. But by the time I hit the wall of cattails, I'm 6'4". These things are, I hit a wall taller than me. I couldn't see anyone else. I was other than, I think, Logan, one of the camera guys, because you guys all kept on going, like, to my left, and then I'm playing the whole, well, now I got to go catch up with them, and so then you have to fight through the cattails to fight to the group, and then all of you are just walking single file, just trying to, like, work your way. It's like, this isn't how you hunt in cattails. First off, I love our dogs, but you drop something in the middle of that, like, best of luck to you. So that people are like, guns are cracked. This is no longer a hunt. This is a march. And so we finally got through that. But where it spilled us out was a field of grass, but then like a grove of trees. And
cottonwoods.
Cottonwoods. And things started getting birdy. And it's like, okay, let's explore the woods. And it's like, I knew that'd make Bob happy as a grouse nut. It's like, he loves having obstructed views. It helps him focus, I think. I don't know. So instead of like hunting this big swath of grass, we started chasing birds through cottonwoods.
Yeah. Well, Gitchy did. Because Gitch.
Yeah, she brought us in.
Gitch brought us in. She went on point on the edge, and then she relocated in, and then she took me in a little bit further, and I was ready. And a rooster got up at my feet, and I absolutely biffed it, which tends to happen on rooster road trips on first shots, doesn't it, Nate?
Oh, you mean misses or the falling?
First opportunity. Oh. Yeah, I fall too.
Yeah, you do fall a lot. That's what I thought you meant. I don't know. I heard a lot of grumbling back there, tripping over.
Well, because everything was covered in like
taller grass,
canary grass or whatever it was, and there were deadheads everywhere that I was tripping on. So yeah, I have all kinds of excuses for why I miss that bird.
Sure do,
but it was on after that because we as we proceeded through the woods, there were other birds.
Yeah,
because we followed it out the first time, and then you and Logan, it was Emily and Logan got on a bird. Right? At the edge of the cattails?
Well, I want to talk about one thing. After you missed that one, we made our way in.
Yeah.
And a rooster got up off to my left.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, within shooting distance. And I raised my gun up. And speaking to the fact that, you know, we're hunting with new guns, not our guns and everything else, I went to slide the safety, and I hit the lever. I was so far up on it.
Did anybody know that happened?
I knew that
happened. He admitted to it.
Oh, really?
I made fun of him a lot.
He tried to beat us to the joke. Yeah.
I didn't try to beat you to it. I just was mad that it happened because my thumb hit the lever immediately. I was way over the safety just because I wasn't used to it. So some adjustment there as you're going, you know, on this trip. Yeah, with new guns. But, yeah, we did. We pushed that section. You guys were in the woods. Logan and I were kind of on the edge in that grass that we first ran into. And we had one come across. And Logan, it was.
Okay, so that was a different bird than the one I was thinking of.
Oh, which one?
I was thinking, so after I missed, we followed it
circled
up.
Back
and circled
around.
Back. Yep. And that one,
Emily and Logan
shot at. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, well, we should probably work these woods again.
Yeah.
So we marched back through the woods.
Yep.
And that's when there was the crosser in the open.
Yep. And Logan missed on that one. But it was actually right after Trek was bleeding right under the eye. So he was checking out Trek and making sure it wasn't the actual eye. And he had just snapped his gun together. And that bird got up, and he was, you know, wasn't in the zone by any means when that bird got up. So I'll give him that excuse. When you got a dog that you're worried about an injury and then a bird gets up, that's okay. You can miss that one.
So we proceed through the woods on past 1.5 at this point, and that's when another bird got up wild in front of me.
Yep.
Missed the first time, but I got it with the second. Yeah. But I didn't crush it, and Maisie saved the day.
Well, first off, that bird came running at me, and I could see the grass. The only bad part about this is it's on film. And that's me chasing this thing around through the grass, looking like an absolute fool. Just goofy. Looking
The next thing that's going to go on social.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Let's do it. Yeah, exactly. Throw the carnival music on. I'm chasing it around. It's right here. And then I lose it. We kind of all get together. And I'm like, man, it was right here. This last time I saw the grass move. And Maisie had made her way back. She was sniffing around. It wasn't far from where we were standing. So it must not have moved much once we were all right there. And she pointed it and then got it for us. So
it took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shots before we bagged our first one.
That's right.
Somewhere thereabouts. Not that there were yips.
It's not Browning's fault. I'm going to say that. Nor is it Federal's fault.
No. No.
Operator error.
A bit of
some of it mine. Yeah. And then, okay, so then we turned back, made it through the woods again. Because we're kind of on a narrow spit.
Yeah, there was only one way back at that point.
And I don't think we put up any birds on the final walkthrough.
We had gone through that section with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, yeah. And at that point, we decided, no, we didn't. Nate decided.
I don't
What'd
know.
What'd you decide, Nate?
We went through cattails to start. There was cattails over there. We saw birds. I don't know. You guys followed the
it was
guy.
Clear
he took one look at us and said, they haven't suffered enough.
Yeah, it was clear you didn't know because that wasn't even the game plan. Like,
I was let's go over there. And you guys are following the guy that enjoys chucker hunting. So, of course, I'm going to put us through some misery. I was talking to my wife on the way back to the hotel, and she goes, oh, they made you get out? How'd they pull that off? Because I can never get you to stop going where you're going, and it's misery. Why did they even follow you? And I was like, all right, maybe it's me. Maybe it is me. I don't know.
No, it definitely is you. Because we were supposed to follow the contour of this grass piece with like the creek and the cattails on our right, and then we're going to swoop up. And then suddenly Nate and Logan dived into the cattails, and I'm next to Emily. I'm like, oh, a dog must have been hot. They're following the dog in. All right, you guys stopped, and I thought we were still following the creek. So I'm not going in there. I'm watching the show. I'm expecting like a bird to get up, and there to be a reason to why suddenly he's cutting straight across this giant sea of cattails. But he kept going, and then like I look at Emily, and it's like, okay, so here we go. And by the time like I was just irritated, like I finally just like,
yeah, you came up to me a little angry, a little hot.
I had the moose legs going. I was just like, no, I'm getting through this. And like by the time I was able to like gather everyone together and be like, what are we doing? Like this, like
I was like, I'm following the creek. What do you mean? Like,
I look at the map. It's like there is no creek here. There's like a pond in front of us. And by then we realized we were like at the middle point. Mm-hmm. Like going back was just as far, going forward was just as far. And then like Emily pulled it up on her phone and like, what was the distance?
289 yards.
You were counting?
Give or take. Yeah.
That was the group mentality that people were actually calculating. Like, what are we actually in the middle of right now? My goodness.
I kept thinking.
One bird went up, right? Maybe.
There was an island in the middle.
There was a hen that came. Yeah, so there was birds in there.
I kept looking at like, there's no snow on the ground. Why are we doing this?
So eventually we single filed out of that one too.
Needless to say, no one followed me the rest of the day. So I don't know what happened.
And we split up considerably from there. We broke up into basically three different groups. As you mentioned earlier, the temperatures were rising. I've got the SUV. I had Esky in the truck, and I had that clawing thought in my mind, like, I cracked the windows, but I just don't know how warm it is. So I peeled back to let my old dog out and then take it from there, because you guys ended up separated.
Well, we crossed a bridge and then ended up on the opposite end of the creek that we had hunted through the cottonwoods previously, because now we're kind of keying in on edges with cottonwoods, apparently. Emily and I were closest to the creek, and the rest of the group was kind of more in the field. And so we're just walking that in a line. And then Emily and Bridger, did Bridger kick up that bird?
Yeah, I watched him get birdie, and then I watched him dive into the cover. And a big old rooster came out and flew across the creek, and I hit him once, but it wasn't good enough, and he kept on going. So we went back across the bridge and back to the other side of the creek and looked for probably 15, 20 minutes, and then packed it in and went back to meet up with the rest of the group.
Yeah, so that's where you saw us. Yeah.
You guys are on the other side, back in the woods, and like those guys really liked it.
Really like that spot.
And I saw you guys on the far end of the next field, and I heard a shot.
Yeah, so we ran down the rest of those cottonwoods on the other side. Went in the, you know, it kind of hits a wall. There's some private back there, so we were taking a right. And kind of going through the field, heading towards the other side of that field where there's more cottonwoods. So once again, we were keying in on that. And we're walking through the field. And you had called Logan to figure out what's going on. I'm going to try to meet back up. And he's on the phone. And I'm like, Logan, Logan, Logan. And Maisie was on point while he was on the phone in front of us and, you know, pointing a patch of snowberries. And so we go in on that. She's hard on point, so I'm thinking it's right in there. Well, she breaks off, goes to the next little patch of snowberries, points. Next little patch, points. Keeps working all the way to the corner, and then right at the corner, bird gets up. First shot, I nail it dead center in a tree, just right into a tree. The second one, knocked it down. Maisie was on it, goes over there. Another, you know, they're tough birds today. It ran. So we're over there. We're looking. Maisie goes out about 70 to 80 yards, and I can see her on the Garmin. She's over there. And if she's going that way, when she was on it when it fell. I'm figuring she's tracking it. Uh-huh. And she came back. There was some cattle in the next field over. She's got this weird thing with cattle where she comes up to them, she'll look at them, and she's very unsure about them, and then she'll come back. And she just doesn't want to play around with them for some reason. I don't know. They've never done anything to her, but she's on edge with them. So she comes back. I tell her to fetch again, and she goes right back, almost identical to where I saw her track before. This time she comes back and Logan goes, oh, she's got it. And she came back and she had the bird. So she made a great track, great point, great sequence all the way through, and made a great track and brought the bird back to hand. So that was my first one of the day, which was nice to get that off my shoulder, because I came into the hunt with a lot of misses on grouse. So it was up in the air how I was going to
perform.
I told
you, no yips. You're That's not bringing right. those yips to North Dakota with you.
We broke the curse. We broke the curse, which I was happy about.
You did. You broke it a couple times today.
Yeah. Got one later today, too.
All right. So we kept following the edge of the cottonwoods, and everybody kind of had merged together back as one group at that time. And probably the most memorable shot.
It was a nice shot. Yeah.
Of the day came from Logan. You yelled rooster.
Yeah, so I was in the cottonwoods at that point, walking through. I was the only one. The rest of you guys were in the field. And I'm walking through, and Maisie's kind of came back to me, circled around me, came out in front of me, and then snap points, pointing right at me. And I took half a step, and a rooster gets up right next to me. Mm-hmm. And it's right in line with you guys, so I didn't shoot, but I yelled rooster coming at you. Apparently no one heard me, but yeah,
I heard you.
Okay, well, you were the only one then, because Logan's like, I never heard you.
Really?
He said he just happened to look back as it was flying over, and I don't know how far up it was because I couldn't quite tell, but it was a ways up there. But
that bird was in orbit.
Yeah, that was a high house. Yeah. That was a really cool shot.
And he was pointing straight up from what I heard, and he knocked it down. I saw it go down through the field. I was like, awesome, we got it. So it was a fun one to watch go down with it that far in the air.
So if I recall correctly, that was the third and final bird out of our morning hunt as we made our way back to the trucks, and temperatures were they were approaching in the 70s, low 70s at that point. And it was about noon, so we went and grabbed lunch and watched a football game.
You know, I was excited about this one all week. As a Lions fan, playing the Vikings with a bunch of Vikings fans, but it was a good game. That's the thing. It wasn't one of those – it wasn't like them playing Dallas and they just beat up on them. It was a very much like handshake good game.
I got my Minnesota moral victory, whatever. I'm fine.
You are the biggest Lions fan I've ever met, and I grew up in Michigan.
Man, I got photos of me at, you know, 6 months old in Lions jerseys.
Really?
I mean, my dad's been a Lions fan. My grandpa was a Lions fan, and they've all gone through the misery of every year being a Lions fan, and so have I. I almost got away from it for a minute when I moved to Oregon, and I was, you know, Stafford fan, so I was watching those games out there because I could watch those games.
Like the Rams?
Yeah, okay. The Rams, exactly. But at the same time, Lions were making a turn, so I was right back.
How confident are you right now? Are you going to wager on the Lions to win the Super Bowl?
I think they got a chance to get there. Winning the Super Bowl, it's tough. That's tough for any team. Hutch being out, that's a bummer. But offense is rolling, so I'm confident. More confident than I've ever been in my life, but I also watched an 0-16 season. So, you know, what are you going to do?
You've been through it.
I've been through it.
All right. So after some Lions NFL action at a lunch, we went kind of looking for sharptails. We went to a Plotz piece. Had you ever been to the Plotz piece before, Emily?
No, I hadn't. I had it pinned to check out. And had sent it to a couple people as just a suggestion for a place to go previously, and had heard good things about it, but I hadn't been there myself. But as we found out, it's apparently a popular place.
There were a lot of hunters around, and as we entered in, I was like, ooh, grass is a little taller than sharptails like. Did you have that feeling?
On the piece we actually ended up hunting, no.
Oh.
And even on the bigger piece, I think in general, no, not really.
Okay.
I mean, I think it was, thin enough. Like it was, you know, it wasn't thin cover, but it was thin enough for Sharptail and had rolling hills and a little bit of brush on the sides of the hills. And yeah. I mean, to me, it looked like it could hold Sharptail for sure.
Yeah, it certainly looked like with the brush and different things. I was just like, I was walking through and thinking, gosh, it's just a little heavier grass, and I would like it would have been great if it was grazed like in early summer.
Well, we also had pretty good rains this spring and summer, so yeah. A lot of our cover is a little bit thicker and taller than it typically is. So,
is that pretty universal around here that things are lusher or were lusher all season?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I live down in the southwest part of the state, and that's definitely true down there. And that's part of what has made the wildfires so bad is because there was so much growth in our grasslands, and so there was a lot of fuel for those fires. And we just had kind of the perfect storm of the rain shutting off and things getting really dry, and then bad winds and heavy fuel load. So.
Well, we entered in that plot, and we chased around a few pheasants. Nate and I, and also Riggins was
Riggins
with us.
Riggins is along for the ride.
Riggins has no loyalty.
We chased some roosters around that they... We went to where we thought we were going to find sharptails, and then they hung a left, and it turned out to be running pheasants. I got a shot off and missed. And that's, you know, at that point it was, I think, 82 degrees or 81 degrees on my truck, and my dogs were thirsty. So at that point we left that plots field. So a couple of fun facts about North Dakota related to plots. Public land open to sportsmen. That's what plots stands for. In the state of North Dakota, there are 836,000 acres available to you, the public land hunter. And that's in a state with 93% of the land being private. There's 836,000 acres of plots land. Some of them hold sharpies. Some of them hold pheasants. Some of them, in theory, hold huns, although we haven't seen any huns yet. You think we'll see huns tomorrow?
I'd be surprised if we didn't.
Oh. Yeah. We're heading in a little bit different direction tomorrow. We might see some huns.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. I know we'll talk a little bit more about our plots program later in the week, but very fortunate with the plots program that North Dakota Game and Fish administers. They do a great job not only enrolling acres, but working on enrolling high quality acres and encouraging landowners to implement new habitat. And you know, I mean, they have boots on the ground every day working to enroll more quality access acres for hunters. So we're very fortunate to have them, you know, managing that program.
It's something really important to you is helping expand plots into other parts of the state that are sort of underserved in terms of public access, right?
Yeah, and I mean, really just across the state, just increasing opportunities. I know a lot of times that's the most frequent kind of complaint you hear from hunters is that they lack access to quality hunting opportunities. And so really anything we can do to help address that for selfish reasons and so that more people can enjoy high quality hunting opportunities. I mean, it's the reason people come to North Dakota. It's the reason people look forward to their once a year weekly trip or, you know, 1 week of the year trip to North Dakota is because you can come out here and have such a target rich environment and see so many birds in one day. And we just want more people to be able to have those opportunities and to feel like they can visualize what that goal looks like as far as, you know, all the pieces coming together with having habitat and having access and, you know, the amount of effort and care that goes into those stars aligning. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens through a lot of very intentional effort and dedicated staff and landowners.
There are two other fun facts in terms of public land you wanted to talk about. One is largest grassland in the country.
Yeah, the Little Missouri National Grasslands. It's 1.3 million acres, and it's just a beautiful, unique landscape. I love it year-round, and it's it provides a lot of really exceptional hunting opportunities, but also other types of recreation, hiking, mountain biking, all kinds of stuff. So it's a pretty special place.
And the other one was?
Yeah, we have the most wildlife refuges in the country.
Hmm.
So Alaska has us beat acreage-wise, but we have the most in terms of individual refuges.
I asked you early in the day, you're a Michigan native too. I asked you, will you ever leave North Dakota? And your answer was?
North Dakota will always have a piece of my heart, definitely. Yeah, I don't know what the future holds, but I love North Dakota. There's so many opportunities here, and I can stop work and go out and shoot a limit of pheasants, and that's pretty special. That's not something I take for granted. Just being able to pack up the truck and drive a few miles and go have a really awesome hunting experience. I mean, it's just an incredible place.
You're known to catch a walleye or two as well.
Every now and then, yeah. Yeah, I got to have something to do in the summer.
Logan and I were actually talking about that, not the walleye, but...
well, I heard what Logan had to say about walleye. Walleye hater.
I don't know how that could be possible as someone from Minnesota, but we're not going to go down that rabbit hole yet. But when we were driving back to our hotel, you see like the lights of Bismarck, and I was just like, wow, this is a big city. Like when you see a city lit up at night from like a high vantage point, mm-hmm. it kind of like really puts everything in perspective. I'm just like, do they know how lucky they are?
Mm.
Like people travel from all over the country, and this is like literally and figuratively like in their backyard. Like, wow. Like, I wonder what that would be like.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing the appreciation that Emily has and not taking that for granted is people that were just talking about, like, I can't even imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. It's always fun talking to people who are coming to North Dakota from out of state for the first time to hunt, because they'll ask questions like, well, do you think that we'll see some pheasants?
Mm.
I'm like, you would have to have a blindfold on to not see pheasants coming into North Dakota. Or they'll want to know, what area should I target to hunt? And especially on a year like this year, where we did have really good production for pheasants, especially, throw a rock, pick a plots piece.
Maybe
that
Bob should throw a rock.
All right. Well, throw a rock. Use Onyx to throw that rock.
That's right.
Onyx is a proud supporter of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, and they want to thank everyone in the Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever family with an incentive to subscribe to Onyx Hunt using the code PFQF at the link in the show notes, and you'll get 20% off on your subscription. And Onyx will donate a portion back to Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever's wildlife habitat mission. All right, so the final spot of the day was actually supposed to be the second to the final spot of the day. But we did go back to the Painted Woods Wildlife Management Area. And we split up again. It was warm, and Andrew offered an opportunity for me to rest my dogs, which I took a truck nap.
Yeah, so you rested your own eyes, too.
At the place that, in theory, we were going to close the day down with. Where did you guys go?
We went back to the parking lot we actually had lunch in, which when you pull in there, like that, there's nothing like awe-inspiring about it yet, because there's so much habitat work that still needs to take place. But Emily had noted that, there's water there, and we've been finding birds near water, and then there's tree lines there. Like, why don't we just take a quick rip, like up the edge and see if we run into something.
Famous last words.
Again, yeah. Just real quick, don't ever believe me
real
when
quick,
I say that.
Let's take a real quick walk. You know, I'll let Riggins loose. He can gobble this up in 30 seconds. It'll be fine. And then, you know, we can go meet up with Bob and do kind of what we imagined to be our golden hour hunt. Yep. It didn't really work out like that, and it's all Emily's fault. So I'm gonna let her take over and kind of walk us through like how we ended up where we did.
Well, what I'll say is at least it wasn't as strenuous as the first spot. Mm-hmm. It was a lot easier walking.
There are no cattails.
That's true.
Towards the end there.
Well, yeah, but we were in birds getting shooting opportunities.
See?
So then it
That's
doesn't
where
count.
They are.
Target-rich environment.
Yeah. Well, Reagan's, he's a little bit of a bigger running dog. And the area we were hunting, it was really just the edge of the field as it kind of dipped down into the creek there that had a little bit of habitat. So he was able to cover that pretty quick. He took several 300-400-yard rips down the border. And then finally, we were getting into a little bit of a wider swath of cover, where he was able to work it a little bit better, and just had more opportunities to find birds in areas where there's more habitat, believe it or not. and he went on point. It was like 275 yards, maybe. And I thought, well, maybe he's getting a drink, and maybe we can go ahead and turn around. And then I stood there for a second, and, you know, it updates every, like, 3 or 5 seconds, mm-hmm. and he was still on point. And so I turned to Andrew, and I said, hey, we've got to go 300 yards back further into this property, because Riggins is on point over there. And so we did, and we get up there, and before we could even see him, birds started getting up in front of us. A lot of hens, some really close opportunities on hens. And then at that point I couldn't really see exactly where he was at. I think he was on the edge of the creek, stopped, but we were walking through a pretty narrow strip of standing beans, and a bunch of birds were dumping out of it. We had one young rooster get up at the end of it, and I was able to shoot that one. But then Riggins was still stopped, and so Logan and Nate were able to grab my rooster, and Andrew and I kept going to try to catch up to Riggins and his bird, and just kept moving birds the whole time. And before we knew it, we were halfway to Bob.
Maybe even a little more than halfway to me.
Well, they just kept on like wild flushing, like just barely like mm-hmm. out of reach.
But I told Andrew he just needed to run really fast.
Yeah, but just like close enough to make you feel like, okay, we got to keep going. Mm-hmm. But like far enough away to where it's like you don't even like bother identifying what they are, like doing anything to your gun. It's like, okay, well, if there's more up there, there might be more up there, right? So it just kept on pulling us further and further and further down this creek. And, like, they were playing us for fools. This is kind of what was happening. I almost felt like they were just, like, playing a big joke on us. Like, look at these guys. This isn't going
to
happen.
I bet we could get them to walk another 100 yards.
I bet they'll go another 100 yards. Like, I bet they'll do it. Watch. Look, they're doing it. Yeah.
They were right.
And so always follow the dog. Well, how about always follow the birds, too? You know, so it's just like you kept on going this way. And finally, I had to call you.
Mm-hmm. Woke me up.
Yeah, because I thought we were like within maybe like 300 yards of like mm-hmm. where you were parked. And then we're all thinking, what are we doing with all of our trucks? Like, mm-hmm. how are we going to like figure out the logistics of this? We've clearly went, you know, further than intended. So then Logan and I decided to peel back with Trek and then grab vehicles while everyone else kept hunting forward. And I told you, well, if you just walk down that hill where I thought you were, mm-hmm. which, spoiler alert, he wasn't.
I was in a different parking area, further away.
That you guys were just kind of like...
But still close.
T-bone each other a little bit, and you mm-hmm. guys could finish your walk, and then we'd meet you back at the parking lot. So that's where we diverged. Logan and I didn't kick up anything else. One bird got up wild towards like the very end. It was actually really nice grass, which we weren't expecting because it was, you know, still a work in progress, obviously. So it was a nice walk, but not productive for us. But you know, we were able to jockey cars, and we sat in a parking lot for maybe 30 seconds. And, but that's kind of getting ahead of ourselves in terms of what you guys were doing.
Well, yeah. So I connected with you guys, and shortly after I did.
Well, even before that. So Emily and I, we continued down that. Our plan was to run the creek, but then Riggins pulled us over to some cattails, some taller stuff. Yeah. And there's birds popping out of there. And then it turned into, you know, Emily's on one side, I'm on the other, Riggins is pointing, Maisie's pointing, they're pushing through, there's birds popping out in front. I mean, it was the whole way. It was the whole way. And then so much so when you were coming down, because we'd finally made our way back to the creek and we're like, all right, we're going to hang here. But then Riggins went back on point over there and you're coming. And I'm like, all right, do we go over there? Do we, you know, butt heads with you? And we decided to go where Riggins was, where there's birds, so much so that by the time we got done playing in that small little spot with those birds, you had already made your way to us. And then you met up with us, and we're making our way down and hen popping out. We're watching them. I mean, Emily and I were watching them pop out, not even flushing. They were popping out on the edge of that and just running down while the dogs were in it. I mean, there was birds piled in there. And we finally, a little ways down, got one to a rooster to flush towards the hillside as opposed to out in front. Yeah. And I knocked that one down. Maisie made a nice retrieve. And then you were right there at that point. And I think another rooster got up just in front of us. And you took a long shot at that one. Didn't hit it. But, man, there's just birds.
There were a lot of birds that entire stretch. Yeah. And most of them were getting up wild, which is – kind of crazy how early in the season it is, but they must have been
stampede going through that with the dogs
I'm guessing many of those birds were just hopscotching.
Yeah,
you know, we pushing them the whole way.
Well, right before you had met up with us, we had watched birds come out, circle back, and go into that just further ahead. They were literally hopscotching, just sticking in that same cover.
Yeah, they're just laughing at us.
Yeah, the whole time.
But the last laugh goes to Logan.
Yeah, so we pulled into the second parking lot we pulled into, because you weren't at the first one. and then it's like, okay, there's the vehicle. Oh no, what did we do? Like I sent Bob on a wild goose chase to try to find the other group, but glad to hear you guys connected. But we had just parked, and then we saw a couple hens pitch into the corn coming from your direction. And so I am dogless, but to make me feel part of the group, I am rocking a Garmin Alpha 300. And I do that because there's a share feature. And so via you can share your dog's tracks with other handlers so that they can see the whole picture of where all the dogs are. And so I was able to look at the handheld and be like, well, Maisie's only 300 yards right there. So I bet they're kicking those birds up right now. So Logan and I were thinking, oh, this is going to become a little taste of South Dakota, a little North Dakota. Maybe we should go block down here for them. So we quickly threw on our orange, and while we were getting ready to go do that, suddenly two roosters pitched up a different hillside. And because we didn't let Trek out by then, because we were literally just gonna block and just wait for you guys to come up. And I was like, let's get Trek. He's like, yeah. So like, it was just like one of those, we don't need to talk, like we're going on a mission. And so we beelined it straight to where those two birds pitched down. Trek was birdie immediately. You know, we thought we knew where they were. Like, we were both like kind of doing like the semicircle around where we thought like they'd pop up. Nothing happened, which, you know, is pretty predictable with roosters. But then we started walking down this hard edge, and eventually one popped up right in front of him, gave him a beautiful crossing left to right, but like, you know, 30 yards up. Like, it was just like a phoenix rising, like one of those types of like golden hour shots. It was just like, a big old bird. He iced it, and it was just like, yes!
Yeah, we got to watch it mm-hmm. unfold. We were doing color commentary down there as it was happening. It was fun. Yeah, it was a cool one to watch.
But, like, the golden hour rooster, it was a big, mature rooster. Like, it was just a beautiful way to kind of, like, cap off what was, like, a difficult day for mm-hmm. us. Like, I'm happy. I think we got 6 birds by the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone at home just heard about a lot more than mm-hmm. 6 birds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so between, like, how dry it was, how hot it was, the birds laughing at us, like, I feel really good about bringing 6 home, but to have that one golden hour rooster's kind of be the exclamation point at the end of the day was fantastic.
How many should we have brought home, Andrew?
At least 3 more. Yeah. At least 3, but that's okay. I got to leave some for other folks, too.
It's part of it.
All right. Think about your favorite moment of the day as I share our premium moment from the field, brought to you by Greenbelt Premium and Premium Light, the pheasant-friendly beer. New Pheasants Forever camo cans, cases, and bottles are in stores in Minnesota, North Dakota, and the 4 states around Minnesota as well. Today's Grain Belt Premium moment comes from Mark Winchittle. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, Mark. But Mark, you're the winner. Here it is. It was Saturday, October 13th, 2018, the Minnesota Pheasant Opener. It was a cool October morning under clear blue skies near the fields of New Ulm, Minnesota. I had my Browning Satori in my hands and my Pop Nordy, named after Grain Belt Premium or Grain Belt's Nordeast, in front of me, 4-year-old German Shorthair Pointer, and my very first bird dog. So Mark dropped 2 sponsors in 1 paragraph, so he gets a prize for that. We hadn't been on this particular public WMA yet, bordering a family farm, but 15 minutes in, Nordy came to an abrupt stop, went on point. His head turned to the north and tail raised high. My heart quickened and 2 roosters exploded from the cover simultaneously. The fast beat of the wings broke the morning silence. Without thinking, I shouldered my Satori, firing twice, 1 shot for each bird. Both birds dropped. The world went silent. Sounds like we need Mark on this trip with us. Nordy bursted over. Her excitement was evident as she retrieved the first bird and then the second. Her tail wagged furiously as I put both birds in my vest. Our eyes searched each other as I leaned over and praised her. That a girl, Nordy. The day had barely begun, and it was over, and we had to wait 24 hours to get back in the field. All right, that is your Grain Belt Premium moment for this episode. Thanks to Mark from Instagram, and I apologize for butchering your name, Mark. Maybe I didn't, but if I did, I'm sorry. All right, what's your premium moment of the day, Emily? What was your favorite moment of the day?
I haven't narrowed down to 2, I think. Maybe 3, depending on how you look at it. But so this morning when we were in the parking lot watching all those birds fly around, and then our last walk of the day towards the end of that strip of standing beans where we were watching all the birds just pour out of it. Anytime someone comes to North Dakota, especially friends, I just want them to experience like true North Dakota pheasant hunting, if that's what they're there for. So just being able to see those big flushes of, you know, so many birds, there's just not a lot of places that you can see something like that. And I know, you know, how special that was to me when I first moved out here, you know, especially it still is. Something that I am in awe of every time I see it. But I always just, there's a sense of relief that comes over me when you finally get to see what those waves of birds look like and what it feels like to be in the field when you're seeing that unfold. So that was one of my favorite moments. And then the other one was when, before we had split up, when you were up at the parking lot, the unknown mysterious parking lot.
My napping spot.
Yeah. we were standing around just yapping, talking, trying to figure out a plan. I looked down at my handheld after a few minutes and Riggins was on point. And I don't know how long he had been on point. I was not paying any attention to him, clearly. And he had a rooster pinned right at the edge of the water. He was like 120 yards away. And so went over there with Aaron and was able to produce the bird for him. It flushed right into the sun. This is a classic excuse, but flushed right into the sun, so I couldn't see what it was. And then after it was kind of out across the water a little bit, Aaron let me know that it was a rooster, so I did take a shot at it, but did not get it. But it was just neat. I don't know. I just love how hard Riggins works. And even when we're just standing around killing time, he's still out there working, and I just appreciate how much he loves his job and that I get to see him perform out in the field. Yeah. It's fun.
That's three terrific premium moments. Compliments in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Nate, what's your favorite moment?
So we can have more than one, because I got four of them. Well,
sounds like you're one-upping me, Nate.
Why not? So we'll start with the cattails. This is the best time. I don't know how anyone could not have fun going through cattails. So premium moment, probably Andrew running up to me, just angry that he followed me through there. that made my day.
Never again.
Yeah.
Until we do it again.
Until we do it. Exactly. Until next time. Number two, Lions beating the Vikings. Yeah, got to do that one.
Well played. Well played.
All right. Now we'll get into the real ones. Probably the first one, just, you know, that sequence of Maisie putting it all together, as she's done many times. But today, you know, that point, locking it down, knocking it down, and then really that retrieve on the cripple, and a couple good retrieves on cripples today. That always makes me happy, because pheasants, all birds, right? One of the main reasons you have a dog is that you don't let birds get away. If you got a dog that's going to find them, and they come back to the bag. So really enjoyed that. And then honestly, just at the end, I love getting together. I love, you know, getting everyone together, cooking the birds that you had at the end of the day, and kind of enjoying the fruits of your labor from a long day of walking.
With grandpa's seasoning.
Yeah. That's such a great story. I think you should share it.
Well, now I have to. No. So I always bring my grandpa's seasoning along. He was a firefighter in his hometown there, and as part of the community, every weekend or every Friday, he would cook in the park in the middle of town, and there was a bunch of charcoal, you know, concrete grills there, and he would cook chicken or fish or honestly anything people
what
brought.
Town?
Howard City, Michigan.
Howard City,
yeah,
Michigan.
Small town. You're gonna
what
miss
was
it
your
if you blink.
Name?
Ralph Buckley was his name.
Ralph Buckley.
Yep. And he had a seasoning that he put on all that everyone knew and loved, and that's why they came out. And it was gone for a number of years, but ended up finding it in a lost drawer someplace at my grandma's house one day. So we got it back, and now every year we make a pile of it, and I always have it with me.
And we had it Rooster Road Trip number one.
Yep.
It was excellent. Andrew, premium moment. Take us home.
I was going to wax poetic about, you know, the tailgate cookout and how that moment was really brought together by all the moments that were already talked about. But to have all of that, you need high quality habitat and you need access. Mm-hmm. And so all of those come together to create that gathering at the tailgate at the end of the day, where you're just sharing laughs and eating fresh pheasant and just letting it all sink in. If you want to help us create more moments like that, become a member. Go to roosterroadtrip.org. We have a special membership offer right now. We'll give you a free Browning Bird and Buck knife. And if you sign up during the Rooster Road Trip period of time, you'll be automatically entered to win a Browning Satori 825. Now, if you're thinking 825.
Yes, I thought it was a 725.
That's right. This is a brand new Satori. This is the gun I'm carrying around all week, and I absolutely love it. Can't wait to drop something with it. But I can tell you, it's really nice to carry around. So that's you're doing that a lot, right? So just go to roosterroadtrip.org, sign up, become a member, do your part. If you're already a member, thank you. Thank you for helping for these moments to be able to exist. But I'll get off my soapbox now. So my real premium moment is after Logan shot that last bird, you know, the sunlight's starting to wane.
Mm-hmm.
The grass took on that purple hue to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on top of a hill, and there's a little bit of wind and just a little bit of nip in the air, finally. After a hot, hot day, finally there was a little nip in the air. The shadows were starting to get longer. The grass was beautiful. And I was just like, I wait for this feeling all year long.
Mm.
Just like that sensation of just like that perfect, crisp, like fall, like evening where it's just like perfect. Those moments are fleeting. So that was my moment of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a beautiful sunrise. And a beautiful sunset, and a lot of fun in between. We'll do it all again tomorrow.
Bright and early.
Thank you to our Rooster Road Trip partners, Ride and Shotgun, Browning Firearms, Federal Ammunition, Orvis Hunting Apparel and Dog Products, Rufflin Kennels, Garmin, Irish Setter Boots, Sound Gear Hearing Protection, and Yeti Coolers. Thank you all for supporting Rooster Road Trip, generating habitat for our wildlife habitat mission and helping us create public access for all of us to go follow bird dogs. And you know what I always say, follow that dog. Something good will rise. We're going to find out what that is on day two of Rooster Road Trip 2024. In North Dakota. We'll catch up with you next. Thanks for listening.